Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. If you've got your Bible, we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 7 in just a moment. Then we're going to be working our way to Romans chapter 6. We are delighted to see each of you with us. As was said, each week we're seeing more and more faces, and we just love that so much. We really appreciate how respectful everyone is by wearing their mask. That is not the best, but we are respecting it, and we appreciate your diligence in doing those things. That's very mindful and very important as we think about that. As I was driving down here this morning, it was really dark. The sun was just coming up. I love getting down here real early on Sunday mornings just to get my processes going here. And you can see there wasn't going to be a cloud in the sky. That big yellow ball was just rising up over the horizon. And it's like the Lord was saying, I'm giving you another blessed day. What a great way to do that, by coming to the house of the Lord, being thankful and honoring God in so many ways. We're glad you could be with us. We welcome those who are watching us on live stream. We appreciate you also joining with us. Inside your bulletin today, there's an outline, places for you to fill in some things if you want to keep notes as we think about this lesson we're going to talk about today. Well, there was a gathering at Buckingham Palace, and the Queen was going to be there. And there was going to be a royal banquet. And for a lot of these people, they'd never been in the presence of the Queen before. They'd never been invited to Buckingham Palace. So they were escorted into a side room, and they were given instructions. He said, now, you don't go up to Her Majesty and say, how you doing, Queenie? You don't do that. You don't talk to her unless she talks to you first. And then they said, you bow when she enters the room. Then they said, you follow everything she does. You don't get your food and eat first. You follow the Queen. So whatever she does, you do. And these nervous people just, okay, that's great. So they filed in there. Here came Her Royal Majesty, and they were just all so excited. The Queen picked up a spoon. They all picked up spoons. When the Queen grabbed a napkin to dab her lips, they all grabbed a napkin to dab their lips. When the Queen reached for a cup of tea, they all reached for a cup of tea. In the midst of the banquet, the Queen took a little saucer of cream and poured it in her saucer. They all looked at each other and said, well, Queen does it, we do it. Then the Queen took her saucer and put it on the floor, and they all put theirs on the floor, and the Queen's little dog came over and just drank it. You know, we misunderstand things sometimes. And interesting, when we turn our Bible, how important understanding is. When we read in Acts chapter 8 about the Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading from the book of Isaiah. The preacher Philip ran to him and said, do you understand what you're reading? Our study of the book of Nehemiah, we've talked about how in chapter 8 at the grand gathering, when the word of God was read, it says that they gave sense so they understood the reading. We started a series last Sunday evening talking about on the same page with God. You and I can have a lot of differences. If you filled out your March Madness bracket, if we looked at who's going to be in the final games, a lot of us may have a lot of differences there. My bracket's already shot. You know, it's just shot. Terrible. And we may have differences about where we want to eat or the best places to eat. But when we come down to being on the same page with God, seeing eye to eye with God, understanding that this is what God says, that is foremost of all things. And this morning, particularly, we want to talk about the subject of salvation, the most important subject. Now, you may disagree with me on this and that. We may disagree about politics. We may have a lot of disagreements. But if I mess this up, I'm going to miss heaven. If I don't understand what God says about this, I'm not going to make it to heaven. We need to see how valuable this is, that we are eye to eye with God. It's not so much God's got to understand me. Lord, I'm unique. I'm a special case. I get a special ticket. No, sir. We have to follow what God says and to see how valuable that is as we do what God wants us to do. And so if you got your Bible, turn with us to Matthew 7. Let me just take a second and say this to the church family here. As Danny said, we're starting up lots of things here. Lord willing, in 2 weeks, we're going to be firing up all of our classes on Sunday morning. We've got a lot of excitement about those things. As we talk about getting back to normal or the new normal, what that may look like, what a wonderful opportunity for the church family here to rededicate themselves and fire up once again. Some of you for a long time before COVID would be just Sunday morning only. Maybe that's all you could do, but maybe we could do better than that. Sunday night's a great time for encouragement. Wednesday night, a great time for learning things from God's word. And so as we think about coming back together, what a wonderful opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to come back better than what I used to be. I'm going to do things better. Great things happen in here when God's word is taught to us. Matthew chapter 7 now. And let's talk about, first of all, when we talk about the subject of being on the same page with God, eye to eye with God on salvation, we need to first of all understand what we mean by salvation. This is why Jesus Christ came. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. We remember that great John 3:16, God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus did not come down here to show us how to make better crops, how to save the environment, how to be better people. He came to save our souls. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, and he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. What do we mean when we talk about salvation? What does it mean to be saved? First of all, it means to be forgiven of your sins. All of us, Romans 3 verse 23 says, have sinned. And we don't need a Bible verse to tell us that. Reality tells us that. God said stop and we went. God said go and we didn't go. God said left and we went right. And our lives are a history of those things. And what salvation is forgiveness against the God of heaven. And it's a gift of God. What forgiveness is a second chance. Not to do the same thing, but to do it better this time. And so we look in passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where there it says, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. Powerful images of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be saved. Ephesians chapter 1. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. He didn't give us just a spoonful. He poured out his grace upon us that we would be saved. Now, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, let's begin with verses 21 through 23. And then we're going to flip over to the book of Romans in chapter 6. On the same page with God about salvation. Here it says in Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons, and your name perform many miracles. Then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I want you to notice real quickly four conclusions out of that simple verses. First conclusion is there's a day in which all of this will matter. He says in verse 22, on that day. And we can go throughout the community today and say, did you go to worship today? Some will say yes, some will say no, life goes on. Do you believe in Jesus? Some will say yes, some will say no, life goes on. Are you saved? Some will say yes, some will say no, life goes on. But on that day, see what he has in mind? On that day, he's not going to say, did you get your stimulus check? On that day, have you been vaccinated? On that day, have you filed your taxes yet? Because on that day, only one thing matters, and that's Jesus Christ. And so that's why we see this. That's what makes it so important for us. Second conclusion here, there is an understanding that Jesus Christ is in charge. Verse 22 says again, many will say to me, well, why to you? Why not to Caesar? Why not to my mama? Why not to my church? Because Jesus Christ is in charge. Many will say to me on that day. There's a sense in which Jesus Christ is in charge. Thirdly, there's an accountability to Jesus. Verse 22 says, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Lord, Lord, did we not do miracles? Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons? And they're trying to justify themselves before Jesus. Jesus, here's why we need to come into heaven. Here's what we find before ourselves. And there's an accountability there. And then the fourth conclusion, there's a cold reality that doing good is simply not good enough. Read with me once again, verse 22 and verse 23. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And your name cast out demons, and your name performed many miracles. And I say, there's not a person in this building today who can say, I can do that too. The age of prophecy has ended. The age of miracles has ended. The age of casting out demons has ended. These people said, we have done those things. But Jesus would say in the next verse, I declare to you, I never knew you. That's a cold statement, isn't it? It's one thing to say, you know, boy, you look familiar. I just forgot your name. I meant it before, but I just forgot your name. Jesus says, I don't know you. It's like we have never met. And here's some people claim, well, look what we have done. We've been doing good things. We're not out of here burning buildings. We're not out of here abusing children. We're not out of here committing sins. We're doing all these good things. And read on in verse 23, as he says, then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. On that day. That's why this lesson is so important. It's important for us to be on the same page with God about salvation. And what this reminds us is, as we think about this, if any statement in the Bible kills the idea that I'm religious, but I do it in my own way, this verse right here kills it. I've got to do it God's way. It's God who's going to save me. There's no independent people. There's no unique way. There's no trailblazers out here. I'm going down a path no one has ever gone down before. No, we're going to do it God's way, or we're not going to do it at all. Now, Romans chapter 6. This is the heart of our lesson. And this is where we're going to really talk about salvation here. Let's begin by reading the first 14 verses, Romans chapter 6. And as we read this, I want you to notice right off the bat, I've got my first point already listed there. There's no mention about heaven. And that's where I want us to start. So many people say, well, I need to be baptized. Why? Because I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. We all want to go to heaven. But as we read Romans chapter 6, that's not the thought here. Heaven isn't introduced in this passage. And so what we're going to find here is on the same page with God has a different concept about salvation. Sometimes we say, well, here's a person, they got baptized, and they're just kind of do whatever they want to do until they die, and then they go to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. And what we're going to see here in Romans chapter 6 is what God says about salvation. Let's read it now. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be like him in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but also alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that should obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as these who are alive from dead and members of your instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, I want you to notice two or three simple things here. Number one, salvation is about being one with Christ. by being united with Jesus. And notice how this flows as we see this in this passage here. He says, for instance, in verse 3 and 4, we are united in his death, united in his burial, united in his resurrection. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, I'm baptized, I'm going to heaven. No, it's more than that. It means I'm one with Jesus. I'm united with Jesus. Verse 6 says, we have been crucified with him. And this is where we get this image here. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was put in the grave. 3 days later, he was resurrected. You and I died of sin. We're buried in the waters of baptism. We're raised to walk in the newness of life, as Romans 6, verse 4 says. This is why the apostle would say, why do you delay? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Into Christ, a new life. And so that's the idea we find here. That's a concept he wants us to see, that we are united with Christ. We will live with him, verse 8 says. And so when someone says, well, what is a Christian? A Christian is one who's on the same page with God. He's united with God. He's one with God. As we see that. Secondly, salvation is breaking free from sin. On your outline there, there's a whole list of verses, all from Romans 6. But once you get this, flavor as he's running through this, he repeats this over and over and over again. Once you are in Christ, your old life is over. You have changed. You are different. And that's the idea we need to see here. So he says in verse 2, we who died to sin. When something's dead, there's no more life in it. It's over. That's what he's saying there. He would say in verse 6, our old life was crucified. He would say again in verse 6, our body of sin might be done away with. He would again say in verse 6, no longer be slaves to sin. He would say in verse 11, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. He'll say in verse 12, do not let sin reign in your body. Also verse 12, do not obey sin. Verse 13, do not present your bodies as instruments of sin. Then in verse 14, sin shall not be master over you. Now, do you get that tone there? Do you get that understanding? Get your Bible now. Turn with me to the book of Acts. We'll be right back here in a moment in the book of Romans. But go with me to Acts chapter 3. And notice with me in verse 19, as Peter was preaching here, he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent therefore and return that your sins may be wiped away and or that the times of revival may come from the presence of the Lord. The Old King James Version says, repent and be converted. Conversion. You ever gone overseas, foreign country? You got your American dollars? No good overseas. You got to convert them, don't you? Remember years ago back in school that they taught you, here's the English way. Now you got to convert it to the metric system. Here is miles per hour. This is kilometers per hour. You got to figure out that little thing that here's an inch and here's a centimeter and millimeter, all those things. What were you doing? You were converting. You were changing it. And what he's saying here in Acts chapter 3 is that you are being changed. You are being converted to Jesus Christ. It's not that I simply go to church on Sunday and I'm no different. I am totally different because of Jesus Christ. And that is the idea that we see and we hope with these things. And then we look at another point here, and that salvation is a new and a better life. And again, right back to Romans chapter 6, if you will. Salvation is a new and better life. He would say in verse 4, there's a newness of life found in him. He would say in verse 8, we shall live with him. Now, counter that to the point before with all those words about death. Died to sin, crucified to sin. Sin no longer lives in me. But now what does live in me? You see, you don't just take that glass and pour it out. Because that glass is empty. You've got to put something in there. And what you're putting in there is Jesus Christ. I live for Jesus. Jesus reigns in my heart. Consider yourselves alive to God, he says in verse 11. Look what he says in verse 13. Present yourselves to God as alive from the dead. So when we talk about salvation, being on the same page with God, and someone says, I have been saved from my sins, what does that mean? It means I'm one with Jesus. It means my old way has ended. I'm living a better way, a way of Jesus Christ. It means I'm alive. For the first time in my life, I'm really alive in Jesus. And so salvation is so much, much more than simply going to heaven. Now, you got your Bible. Let's look at a couple of verses on this. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Jimmy was with us here just a moment ago in our Lord's Supper. Read just past what Jimmy was reading. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30. As Paul was telling this church that was troubled about the Lord's Supper, they were misunderstanding it. They were not on the same page with this, with God. He says in verse 30, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Now, he's not talking about physically. He's talking about spiritually. Spiritually, you've not made that difference. Spiritually, you're not alive in Jesus. Spiritually, you've not been converted. You have not changed. And that was a serious problem there. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, we read about the church of Sardis. Great reputation. But the Lord said that they were dead. And so when we think about being on the same page with God, we need to realize, am I one with Jesus? Am I doing what the Lord wants me to do? I need to ask myself, am I alive in Jesus? Don't worry about pandemics. Don't worry about COVID. Don't worry about politics. I'm someone who's alive with Jesus. I am God's son. I am God's daughter. I belong to God. What a difference that makes. And then have I made that change? Have I been converted? Or am I keep doing the same things I've always done before I was baptized? I'm still doing them after I was baptized. What has changed? That's what he's emphasizing. And so salvation is much more than going to heaven. It is appointing Jesus as the Lord of your life. It's living as the light of the world. And it's a change in character, attitude, and heart. That's what it means. And so, again, we need to see it's more than just saying, okay, I start going to church on Sunday mornings, and I haven't done that. Now that's it. And the rest of the week is lie, cheat, steal. The rest of the week, I just do whatever I want to do. That's not what the Bible teaches. You've changed. And you're like that little seedling coming up this time of year because you got life in Jesus Christ. So Jesus would say in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they would have life and have it abundantly. And that life starts now, right now. Alive in Jesus. Right now, I have the hope of God. Right now, the promises of God are before me. I have that. So Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent. Notice what he says. Our ambition is not to go to heaven. No. Our ambition is to please God. If he gives me one more moment, I'm going to please God. If he gives me another 40 years, I am wanting to please God. I think we're so focused sometimes on heaven, we forget about here. And here God has something for us. And here God wants us to live a certain way. This is how we're the light of the world. And sometimes our families, sometimes the community, sometimes our coworkers can look at us and say, you know, other than getting up on Sunday morning, there's no difference in our lives. You laugh at the same things I laugh at. You watch the same shows I watch. You talk just the way I talk. There's no difference in you and me except Sunday morning, you happen to be in a church building. Shame on us. We are a different people. We've changed inside and out. And it's not about going to heaven. That's the end product. The emphasis right now is Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is foremost. I please God. Notice how the Philippians put it this way. Paul writing to Philippians. Not that I've already grasped it. We've already become perfect. But I press on that I may also take hold of for which I was even taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Notice now, look at these words. I press on, not for the prize. Prize is heaven. That's not what he's pressing on to. I'm pressing on to the goal for the prize. You see that difference? Now, what does that mean? Turn your Bibles, book of Philippians, chapter 3. Let me show you what this means. And he illustrates this for us in the next couple of verses. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 16. There he says, however, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. What's the goal? To keep living as God wants us to live. Verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern. That's the goal. You keep the goal, you're going to get the prize. But if you go for the prize and you forget the goal, you might miss all these things. Up above, just before this, in verse 9, verse 10, Philippians chapter 3, once again, he would say, that we may be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from the God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being transformed to his death. We press on to the goal for the prize. And that's an interesting way of looking at that. So on the same page with God about salvation. It involves heaven, and God's about heaven, and God talks about heaven, and God wants us to be in heaven. But between now and heaven, there's a life to live. And between now and heaven, there's choices you have to make. And between now and heaven, God is expecting you to live that righteous life in Jesus Christ. That's what's being driven by these passages here. And that's what I want us to see. How easy it is to say, oh, salvation's really no big deal. One Sunday morning, you go forward, you get baptized, and that's all you have to do. And, you know, if you want to go to church, that's okay. If you don't, that's okay. But that's all you have to do, really, and then you get to go to heaven. You don't find that in your Bible. What you find is you've changed. There's attitudes I've had. There's prejudices. There's words. There's choices that just don't please God anymore. So I've got to stop those things. And I've got to live righteously. I've got to make the right choices for God. And I've got to live as a light into the world. That's what it means to be saved now. That's what it means to have life now. And whether you have a moment or whether you have decades left in your body, it doesn't matter, because if I live righteously for God every single day, it doesn't matter when that time comes to go through that door. Because I've been with Jesus every step of the way. It is concerning. It is troubling. It is shameful. All across the country, to hear about people who claim to be Christians. They got arrested for drunk driving. They're divorcing because of the affair. They're cheating here. They're cheating there. They're not married, but they act like they're married. Sexual immorality. And all across this country, these things are coming up. And people are scratching their heads. Well, this is not the world. These are God's people. What's going on? I tell you what's going on. They haven't understood salvation. They're not on the same page with God. What we need to do is start doing some converting within our souls, within our hearts. You want to go to heaven. That's powerful. You should. But before you get there, some things you have to do, and that's living for Jesus Christ. So that's our thoughts for today. Hope it gives you a lot to chew on. We can help you. We're here to help you. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to continue this series on the same page, eye to eye with God. And as we said as our introduction lesson last week, if I'm not on the same page with God, guess who's wrong? It's not God. It's always going to be me. I just don't see it that Bible way. Well, guess what? I'm the one who's got the problem. And we need to follow what God says. Having heard this, there may be some among us who say, you know what? I've never been baptized. I need to do that. But understand, in getting baptized, you're making a promise to God. You're making a commitment. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to please you. I'm going to change my life. More than that, there may be some among us who said, you know, I've never heard a lesson like this. I mean, you just knocked the paint off the wall, preacher. And I, you know, sure, I was baptized, but, you know, I run with the sinners. I'm just one of them. What about me? It's about time to be converted, isn't it? About time to get serious about what God wants you to do. It's time to be pleasing to your Lord. If we can help you in any way, won't you come forward as we stand and as we sing?